Good morning. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. If this is your first time or one of your first times, we will have a spot later on in the service where you can get up and introduce yourselves if you want to. We try not to coerce anyone. Because everyone here is welcome, despite your ethnicity, your religious beliefs, your sexual orientation, your levels of skill. We are all welcome here. Oh, I didn't mean that personally. Peter and I have a running, what's the word I want? Bantering, yes. No, Peter, I appreciated that. It was fine. I do encourage you, if this is one of your first times, or even if you've been coming here forever and ever, or so it seems, to make sure that you come again, to try us out more than once, because our services are different every Sunday. They may be presented by someone within the congregation, one of our lay leaders, or this morning, our Director of Religious Education, Rebecca, back there. They may be presented by someone outside the congregation, or once in a while you'll get me, the Reverend Sandra Ingham, aka Sandy. So welcome. I have three announcements. One is a personal one that I don't really like to have this happen during announcements, but I'm desperate. I'm really trying to find a home for a cat who will be five this month. So if you would love to have a cat, let me know. Try the shelter route. There, as you might imagine, they have a waiting list. Last month, we had a Mother's Day program with shared memories from many of you. And it was a wonderful, wonderful service. And we're going to do the same thing next week, but with the fathers. We still could use a few more people contributing. So anyone who would like to share something about their father should contact Dan Proud. Dan's not here today, but he'll be here later. or you can see me and I can point you in the direction of Dan. I assume anyone can share the memories of their father, right? Male or female persons? Great. And this one, James and Rachel Hughes. Are you two in here? Wandering around somewhere? They're wandering around. They are available for summer help, mowing, raking, general outdoor or indoor cleanup. I plan to use them to move me, not once, but twice. So call them or talk to me and I can point you towards them to set up a work date.
I have an announcement. I'm sorry I didn't get you ahead of time, but we just need cleanup for Soup Sunday today.
Very important announcement.
Volunteers are welcome and encouraged.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. There you go. You got one. I've seen her out there in the kitchen laboring before. Oh, Karen, are you, or the primary class is doing the opening words?
Opening words. So I want Maeve and Liam and Indy and Karen and Desmond. And Markwell and Gil, come on up. You guys come up and stand on the stage. You know this. You totally know these words, right? We're going to say that thing that we say when we like the chalice in our class, right? Okay, so get ready. This is the church of the open mind. This is the church of the loving heart. This is the church of the helping hand.
Join me in singing our opening hymn, number 124. Stand as you are willing and able to do so.
What is
it? 124.
Oh, it's the morning of taking our time with music, which is a good thing.
All right.
light the chalice. I think some of the young people are doing that too. And Lauren, are you going to read the chalice words? Okay, the mic is on for you. And the words are right there. Who's lighting it? Gil or Rebecca? Who's lighting the chalice?
Gil.
It's time to light the chalice.
Gil is outside in the hall.
Gil is outside in the hall. All right.
Light the chalice.
Can you light the chalice? Yep.
We light this chalice to remind ourselves to treat all people kindly because they are our brothers and sisters, to take good care of the earth because it is our home, and to try to live lives filled with goodness and love because that is how we become the best men and women we can be.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay. Invite you now to take a few moments to have a silent meditation time, gather yourselves, reminding you that silence is not necessarily absence of noise. Now I think it's time for the story for all ages, which John will do this. Just a reminder to the older children, when we sing the song to sing you out, just the younger ones are going, not you older ones are going out.
Good morning. So the story for today is, it's one of the Indian stories. In the past, like centuries back, like you kids, they never had a school. So they never went like particular school, but how they studied or how they had their education was, if they are Hindus, they used to go to their teacher, whom they call Guru. So Guru means? Teacher. Yeah. And the school they used to call Ashram. So Ashram is known as their school. And the parents used to drop them in the Ashram for maybe years. Until the guru says they are good to go to their parents. Now they are educated. They are okay to live in the world. They are all enlightened, you know. So he decides. So once they are dropped, maybe once a 2 years or 3 years, they may go and see the parents or they are their land. So once what happened was they were some six kids, small kids, and you know, they were dropped in the Ashram from their parents and they just left. And now it's the guru's work, you know, to teach them and all. And he was just giving them every day, he was asking them to, you know, teaching them how to plant the seeds or how to clean the house or how to clean their rooms. So every day was like just making them to do something. So the months passed, 2-3 months, 4-5 months, and suddenly these kids are like, what are we doing here? So why is he teaching us how to plant seeds and take care of the garden? Or I'm like tired of cleaning my room. And so they were talking behind, teacher telling. I think we all should, six of us should go for a pilgrimage. Or take a bath in the river of Ganges. In India, the Ganges river is known as very holy. And everybody thinks if you take a dip in the river, they come back holy. And they know everything. They are enlightened. So the still belief goes on, so everybody goes usually. So that's what they overheard, and they wanted to take a pilgrimage and just take a dip in the holy rivers, like a Ganges, Godavari, some rivers are there. And what happened, Guru was, he overheard what they are actually planning. So when they are trying to escape, he just overheard, oh no, these guys are going to escape. Then he just called them the next day and gave them some money. Everybody got some, you know, $100 each. Yeah, then he said, okay, you just go for a pilgrimage for 10 days, holidays for you. Since you want to take a bath, go ahead. Take a dip in the river Ganges or Godavari or Brahmaputra, somewhere. And enjoy 10 days, come back, holy or more educated than me. And he also says, since I cannot come because I cannot walk, what you guys need to do is, and he checks the pockets, and he has a lemon in the one pocket. And he checks the other pocket, he takes some powder, and let's see what he does. And he takes the powder and the lemon, and he says, everybody say, Om, Bhim, Bhisham. Then he just throws off the lemon. Then he said, now this is me. So take the lemon, because I cannot walk. And wherever you go, just give a bath for this one too. So if you dip yourself in Ganges, dip this one too. Okay, if you go and see Golden Temple, take this one, put in front of the legs of the god and pray. And okay, this is very easy. Guru is not coming, so we can do anything we like. So they take a lemon and just goes, okay, one dip for Guru, one dip for another, you know. So they enjoy for 10 days. And after the trip, they come back to the ashram, school. And he just, they hand over to the Guru, okay, this is what you asked us to do, we did. The Guru was very happy, oh, thank you boys for doing this for me. So in the evening, when they're having the tea time, so they're going to have a tea, and he just cuts the lemon and serves them the tea, pouring the lemon for everybody in the tea. At the end, one of the boys is like, Iki! He throws the tea out. And he asks, why did you throw? I thought tea is usually like sweet. What did you put? I said, I put the lemon juice, which is should be turned out to be
tea.
Sugar. It's not sugar. I said, no, it's still sour. 10 days I asked you to take to the pilgrimage and all these things, so it will turn this taste to the sugar. But did that change the taste of the tea?
No.
No. They are still sour. So by the time the kids realized that what Guru is trying to actually tell them, that by taking this one and giving a bath in the holy river, it did not change its taste into the sugar taste. Then they were so sorry that, you know, they were not listening to the teacher, but they are always thinking that, okay, if we go, we'll come back holy, or we just take a dip, we'll be more higher than the Guru's knowledge. So he said, every day, you guys, then they were turned out to be a very good boys, then they were listening to the teacher or whatever he was telling them, they were doing it very wholehearted.
It's okay. Thank you, John.
Oh, not the older children, don't go. That's the younger ones can go out.
Farewell, good friends, farewell, good friends, farewell, farewell, till we meet again, farewell, farewell.
invite you now to share any joys and concerns that you might have. I don't know if anybody has the mic, but I'm sure someone can. It looks to me like we have one up front here, Paul. Cheyenne? I mean one person, not one mic. And as always, I ask that you try to keep them as brief as you can, because we never know how many people might want to share.
Well, I'm graduating on Friday, so yay! I made it through high school. And then today I went and put an application at the store next, like a block away from my house, and I have a training on Thursday. And I hopefully, I'm gonna go and work for a couple hours and work with a lady who works in the bakery and deli, so hopefully I get the job. Keep my fingers crossed.
All right. Well, good for you.
I have a joy. Galen has been working on this paper about an obscure species of bulrush for about 10 years with his colleague in Germany. And they finally decided it was ready to go to Harvard to be published in Rhodora. So the other aspect of this joy is that he turned down 2 requests to review scientific papers. So please give a hip hip hooray for Galen. Hip hip hooray.
Well, since we're on the topic of Galen, I just got to tell you that last couple times we've been over visiting Rose and Galen, Galen's been walking around, kind of moving, and I'm expecting he and Rose to do a little waltz or something one of these days. Yeah. It's great.
No more. Not going to happen. Oh.
But you have the memories.
Yeah. I just spent the last 2 days making 10 new friends. People I never met before, and I got to know them intimately over the course of 34 hours. We ran together from Madison to Chicago, which was about 200 miles, on a relay. So we took turns. And including through the night, which was actually the best part. So, 10 new friends, 10 intimately. Most of them are around 30, yeah. So I was the geezer. It was a blast, but I'm a little short of sleep today.
Well, it was wonderful to have my son Ted here for a few months, and now he is back on the organic farm, instituting new permaculture systems. That's what he did last year. I never expected Ted would be here for very long, but he's very, very happy to be back in the Adirondacks doing that. And I also wanted to say that Ron and I are celebrating our first anniversary next week.
Well, I'm very happy that I made my last distribution of my mother's estate this week. It's been 2 3/4 years.
Some of you may remember my son Marlon, who didn't come today because he didn't get up on time. But he's still down in Atlanta doing social action work almost entirely with all his time. But he's here visiting, and so I got all 3 kids here at home. And yesterday we went to watch my niece get married. And 2 weeks ago I watched her graduate from vet school. So lots of good things happening. And my dad was able to get to the wedding. I don't know if I mentioned this, but he was diagnosed with acute leukemia a few weeks ago. He's 89 years old, so we weren't sure he'd be able to make the wedding, but he did.
Thank you. I will light one. Oops, still got one.
Hi, I'm Davide. I'm an exchange student. I am at the end of my experience, so I want to say thank you to everybody, and a special thank you to my host family. They are the best one, really. They are really the best. Thank you for everything.
So this last week, we had to put our first dog, Gus, down. And I'm sorry, Destiny, he was our first kid. We got married, but then we bought a house and got Gus, and that's when we knew we were really married. We'll miss him, but this morning we have two other dogs, and I was noticing Mojo, who's his eyes are a bit cloudy and a bit, and I figured out that I had always seen Gus clean his eyes, and so guess what? I've got a new job. And
yes, you yeah, do.
Gus took care of us in ways we didn't expect.
Yes, you do have a new job. And I will light one last candle for all the unspoken joys and concerns and ask that you keep them all, spoken and unspoken, in your hearts and minds during the coming week. I don't know if there's anyone new or visiting who wishes to stand up, of course, and or be introduced. So, yes, I know there's at least one.
Okay, well, this is my mother, Brenda. She's came, I got her up this morning. She kind of got me up this morning, but we made an effort to come.
I would just like to take a moment to thank each and every one of you for taking care of us in our time of need, and for being mothers and fathers and taking care of our daughter. Since fifth grade, she has been coming here. She has her up the hill mom, Ann Urbanski. And, you know, this has been the best place for her. She is a well-grounded kid. She has extra moms and grandmas and aunts out here, and she's got extra fathers and, you know, uncles, and however you may see yourself play a part in her life, you've been all very, very important to her. I might not have seen you, but I know you by the stories she comes home every Sunday and she plops on the couch and she says, guess what so-and-so said to me today, or guess where we're going, or, you know, she comes home from the church retreat and she's always got something. And, you know, I know most of the little children by name, you know, or the older kids by, oh, do you want to know what so-and-so did today? You know, so I wanted to take a moment to thank you all so very much. It truly means the world to me and her dad, and it means the world to her, because I firmly believe without you guys in her life firmly planted, I believe she would be my lost little soul. You know, she's the end of my four children. We're very proud of her for graduating. All of these people, some people have been such negative impacts, you know, on her life, and have said, you know, you can't. But all I ever hear from her is, when she comes home, is, Mom, I can. So-and-so told me I can. So thank you for helping to make my child as well-grounded as she is, and such a lovely young lady. And now I can officially say, with tears in my eyes, she's the most beautiful 18-year-old lady. She's still a young lady, but she's an adult now, so thank you very much.
Tough act to follow, but... We're Lauren and David Burke. This is our first time here, and thank you very much. Everybody's been incredibly welcoming and noticed that we're new here and have really shown a lot of support. So it's a beautiful service, and we're happy to be here. Thank you.
And I forgot the rule when it's Soup Sunday, if you're new, or first time, maybe second time, you eat free.
That's
right. So please stay for Soup Sunday. Yes.
Hey everyone, my name is Carrie. My husband Craig and I live on the east side of Madison, and just looking for a spiritual experience and a foundation here, and we're expecting in October, so that gives us another, I guess, reason and meaning in our life. But thank you for such an awesome experience, and everyone who shared, it's been really neat to hear from you guys, so thank you.
Welcome to all of you, and as I said, please stay for Soup Sunday, and please come back. See us on another Sunday. And now, I think it's time for me to turn this over to our wonderful, fabulous Director of Religious Education, Rebecca.
So as most of you know, like Reverend Sandy said, I'm the Director of Religious Education here at Prairie. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the district assembly that I went to today, and then continue on about religious education and the importance of giving it and receiving it. On April 27th, I attended the Central Midwest District Assembly in Waukesha, which now, as of July 1st, we will be known as the Mid-America region. The theme for the assembly was prophetic purpose, historic first responders, and future agenda centers. And I was thinking what many of you are probably thinking now, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that UUs have a statement, we have a message, and we have a purpose, and we need to spread that. We need to spread that message like missionaries. Missionaries. But I just thought I'd pause here to see the looks. I see a little more smiles than I do shocked. I was shocked when I first heard that word. But the more that the keynote speaker talked, Reverend Nate Walker of the First Unitarian Church of Philadelphia, the more he talked or preached, the more I began to like this idea. What I got out of it from 7 years of being your DRE and almost 15 years as a Unitarian Universalist is that we tend to be apprehensive when speaking about our faith, but not about what we believe or what we do, especially when it comes to social justice. We have no problem telling others that we personally are for LGBT rights because we know that all people are important. We have no problem protesting any injustices towards the environment, even willing to be arrested, because we know that we need to respect the earth because it's our home. And we protest war because we know that it goes against our belief for a fair and peaceful world. And yet we shy away from telling people about Unitarian Universalism, our religion, our faith, where we go on Sunday, what we do here, because we don't want to impose our religious beliefs onto others. Reverend Walker shared with us that for the first time, our UU beliefs are now more in line with the mainstream beliefs than ever before. We are no longer the only denomination preaching universal salvation. And recently, Pope Francis said that all who do good will be saved, even atheists. Woo, hey? I had a number of my friends, majority of the friends, majority of the people I know are atheists, and many of them said, wow, thank goodness, I can sleep now at night. And more churches are taking on gay rights as a human rights issue. They are allowing gay clergy and marrying people of the same gender in their congregations. So this is a time. This is a time to be a responder to the needs of the majority, no longer just the minority. So how do we do that? By educating others, but most importantly, we need to begin with ourselves. Another issue we have is our UU principles and our history. We tend to joke that we have our principles, but no one really knows what they are, or that we can believe in whatever we want to believe. I've been told that we don't need to memorize them because, after all, they're not the Ten Commandments. Now, I admit that being raised as a Catholic and going to catechism every Wednesday night, I did hate having to memorize the Ten Commandments, but I never was in a position as a child or even as an adult to explain what it meant to be a Christian. But I certainly have been in that position as a UU. How are we to articulate our faith to others when we're sharing our important message of a fair and peaceful world if we can't tell people what we believe in? If someone asks you, what do you believe? Do you start with what you don't believe? Because as UUs, we tend to do that. I can think back to a time when I was at the Benedictine Monastery in Middleton, and there were several nuns there and a group of us UUs, and we were sitting around, and one of the sisters was talking about what she believed. And then she turned to us and said, well, what do you believe? And I'm sitting there with a number of Unitarian Universalists, and not a single person could state our principles or say any further about what they believed. And I was the only one who was able to state all seven of them and then briefly compare and contrast what we believed and what she believed. And had I not been there, I thought, what a missed opportunity that we had, being able to share our commonalities with another faith tradition. And so imagine the missed opportunity you have if someone comes up to you looking for a spiritual home and they ask you about yours. Study after study has shown that more people in the United States see themselves as spiritual, but not religious. For the first time, the Protestant tradition is no longer the majority in America. And again, now is our time. Now is our time to spread our message that all people are important, that all people have a voice, and that our environment needs saving. When people say, I don't believe in gay marriage because it goes against my belief, we should be saying, not allowing gay marriage goes against my beliefs. Again, it's another missed opportunity. When we don't take care of the environment, when we don't give a voice to all people, our beliefs are being infringed on. And our history. Our UU history is often referred to as boring. Now I understand, I love history, I always have, and I've never been able to understand why people don't enjoy history, but I know that many people don't. But Reverend Nate Walker, when he was speaking at the keynote address, he talked quite passionately about a popular springtime service that most UU congregations celebrate, which is the Flower Communion service. There are some UUs who don't know much about the ceremony and might tell you that it's a time when they bring a flower to church and go home with a different one. Well, that doesn't sound too inspiring, does it? What we can tell people is that it's a time to bring a flower into the church, have them blessed by the minister, and a sermon reminding us that just as no two flowers are alike, neither is our congregation, our community, or our world. It's also time for us to remember the man who created this service, and to remind us of his struggles that of the people during World War II. Reverend Norbert Chopik, a Unitarian minister faced with oppression from the Nazis, started a religious movement in Czechoslovakia that numbered close to 10,000 members. He was arrested by the Gestapo in March of 1941 and accused of listening to foreign broadcasts and high treason. He was placed in a Nazi prison camp, and he was put to death in Austria in October 1942. We're honored to have his grandson, Lee Hapsel, here as a member, and he gave us his grandfather's hymnal, which you can see in the back of the sanctuary in the frame. It's history such as this that should be told and retold, if only we knew it. This year, our students learn about famous Unitarian Universalists. Each time we study famous UU people, I do get a feeling of pride. Pride knowing that great social reformers like Dorothea Dix and James Reeb were Unitarian Universalists. Humanitarians like Christopher Reeve, who became a Unitarian Universalist after his accident. After. My son goes to Henry David Thoreau Elementary School, and he has learned about this great Unitarian. And I had so much pride when I said, you know, Indy, Henry David Thoreau was a Unitarian. I often like to say that to my husband, too. You know who was a Unitarian Universalist? Which he often replies, who are you claiming this time? We know why it's important to learn our principles and to learn our history, always searching for truth and meaning. We know we need to help our young people grow in their spiritual development. But it's not enough just to tell our children or to show our children. We need to bring them to the congregation each week so that they can see others like them learning it and doing it. We have a wonderful, rich history of people who can be, we can all be proud to say, are Unitarian Universalists or Unitarian Universalists. We have seven principles that unite us, and yet we're all different. And we come here each week to learn from one another and also to renew ourselves. Prairie is not only just a place of learning, but I also want to say it's also a safe place. It's a place people of color can go to and know that the color of their skin is not an issue. Where interfaith couples, same-sex couples, can come and bring their families. And I've had parents tell me that their child was having a hard time at school, but that church was their safe place. That their child was being picked on at school for their beliefs, and that Prairie was that place that they could go to and know that nobody would pick on them. I'm reminded of a quote I read from the book Essex Conversations. In there, a person asks, "Why should we go to church? We are so busy, and our kids are so busy." And the response is, "Because you are so busy. You should go to church precisely because of soccer practice and violin lessons and hockey and gymnastics. Precisely because more of us are working longer hours, traveling more, and commuting farther. Precisely because our lives have become structured, task-filled, and goal-focused. Because of the pressures that drive us and the busyness that fills our day is a force that pulls us away from our family and from our friends and other human connection. And it distracts us from our deep human need to reflect, renew, commit, and make meaning of our lives." And so why shouldn't we share that feeling of community, belongingness, and peacefulness? Why are we only sharing our deeds? We need to share not just our beliefs and our actions, but where we come from, our principles, and our need to spread our entire message to people. Our beliefs, our history, and where we go on Sunday morning. The keynote address ended with Reverend Walker asking all the first responders of education to stand up. These are the people educating our youth and our future. They are teaching our children, our Prairie children, our principles and our history in a loving and safe environment. They are spreading our message. You guys are all the missionaries. Each Sunday, our children are learning either through a textbook or by the work of their own two hands what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. So now I'd like to ask all of our first responders, all of our teachers, to stand up. And I would like everybody to give them a round of applause. And I also have a card and some gifts for our teachers. And so I'll just call you by name. Karen Deaton. Karen taught the primary class. Those are younger students, and Karen was very flexible with that.
A lot of bending and like
no, very flexible in the changes that we had. We ended up having so many students this year in the younger class. I think almost every week we were getting another four-year-old in the classroom. And so great. We needed to move things around, and Karen was really great about that. Thank you, Karen.
And then Robin just said, tell about the t-shirts, because last week in our class, the kids stencil-painted Chalice t-shirts. So I think there will be a retreat session coming.
Yes.
And I don't think Marcia Johnson is here, but she also taught for a semester. And Kathy Converse. Is Kathy there? Is it just Randy? Kathy there. Kathy also did the primary class. She did all the crafts in the class, and she also helped out with Nifty Gifty this year, as always. Thank you. And Robin Proud. And Robin, I included in here
Robin had the children come up with, actually, you might want to explain what you did. I ended up having.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought, oh, okay. Last week, what we did in our class is something that I actually got from my workplace, but we had a whole list of adjectives, and then we had everybody's name, and we wrote down adjectives that apply to that person. So, and Randy and I included ourselves in there.
And I included in here what the children said about Robin. Inventive, thoughtful, flexible, supportive, helpful, understanding, friendly, responsible, and hardworking. And I also want to thank Andy Garst. He's not here today, but he also worked with our younger students, and he was also very flexible. And Glenn Pavelski. He also worked with Andy. And Rachel Long is not here. I think she's in Switzerland.
Yeah,
she's in Europe, right now. Erin Bosch worked with the high school students.
Our two high school students. So sometimes there was only one, and so there'd be three teachers and Cheyenne, or three teachers and James. So they got a lot of attention.
And Carl Wacker also worked with Aaron and Rachel in the high school class. And I'm leaving two people last. I did not forget about Paula or Randy. Paula and Randy did something a little extra this year. They not only did they teach, but they also did the Our Whole Lives program, the OWL Human Sexuality Program. So for 13 hours, our students were in class, our 7th or 9th grade students, and they did this on two Friday nights and two Saturday mornings. They came in and talked about human sexuality. And so I have a card for them, but I also have owl soap. And an owl picture frame that you can put a picture of your class in. So Paula, I call you up and thank you.
Thank you very much. You get a hug here.
Thank you. Thank you. And now I would also like to thank our Religious Education Committee. And if you could stand up, Susan Herr-Hoyman, the chair. And Susan, I have a little card for you. And a little children's chalice pin. It's a child jumping rope, and it looks like a chalice. And I've been very fortunate this year with the Religious Education Committee. The other members on there were also teachers and have all been chair of the committee, Karen Deaton, Robin Proud, and Rachel Long. And I'd also like to thank Barbara Park. Barbara Park has been amazing with me, meeting every other week for staff meetings and helping me, supporting me throughout the year, and she's gone. And also Reverend Sandy, for being a guide and helping me and meeting with me. And also our nursery staff. I'm not sure if they're still here or have they? We have, would somebody be able to bring them up one by one? We have a lot of children downstairs, but we have three nursery staff. We have all boys actually doing the nursery downstairs, which has been great because we have a lot of boys here in the religious education program. And we have Jed Anderson, Ulysses, and Kennedy. Jed, I think his strong point is just Jed and Kennedy both of just being silly and being able to run around with the children. And Ulysses has this very, he must be outside,
Ulysses has a very, he's very quiet, but what I find with Ulysses is that he is the one person that babies will go to, and he will be the only person that babies will go to. So usually while the other two boys are running around with the children, Ulysses is behind holding the babies. And if and if he puts the baby down, the baby starts crying. So Ulysses has become sort of our infant holder. So if you see them out there, please give them a thank you for all the work that they do. And I also would like to ask anybody who has added their time, their hands, their ears to the RE program to stand up. All of you who took part in Nifty Gifty, any volunteers for Nifty Gifty to stand up? Mystery Friends, the Halloween party, the Easter egg hunt, the service Sundays. Any of you who have done that, I know some of you are sitting down and not standing up, but I want to thank you. And I would also like to thank Penny Eiler, who, as chair of the program committee, has always been mindful of families and children programs. And she helped the children last year make chalices. And she also helped with our Chalica service. So I'd like to thank Penny for all the work that she's done.
I'm horning in on Rebecca now because we want to thank Rebecca. She takes care of all kinds of things for the RE program. She recruits teachers, she gives them orientation materials like here's how the brain of kids the age you're working with works, you know, which is really helpful. She plans the curriculum. She's always involved in planning our intergenerational services and social events. And she also keeps us in touch with the UU, with the broader UU world, with the other congregations in Madison and with the district. And that's been especially important during the time that we were without a minister. I think Rebecca was the only one kind of reminding the world that we were here. So beyond welcoming the families to welcoming families to Prairie, she does a lot for the Prairie community. And really, you know, she's the heart of the RE program, and we just so much appreciate having her here. And I have to say, for families, next year we're studying world religions, and this is totally in Rebecca's wheelhouse. Oh, yeah. And it is going to be excellent. So, thank you. And
we have a couple of things for you here. And I did ask for some words that describe Rebecca, and I'll print them up nicely like you did. But here are some of the words that our young people and the parents said. Open-minded, generous, tremendous, organized, awesome, kind, enthusiastic, beautiful, hardworking, sweet, and caring.
Thank you. It means so much to me. Going to switch some gears here, and we're going to talk a little bit about our Cheyenne. Cheyenne, like her mother was saying, has been coming here for a very long time, and she came as just a friend, and I remember your first time being here. And you continue to come, much to our delight, and it has been so wonderful watching you grow up and become such a wonderful young woman, and we're so proud of you, Cheyenne. And so I believe you had some things that you would like to share. I guess we had some questions here for Cheyenne. And the questions.
They're on the back of the.
Oh. I think I don't have them. So.
Oh, I have them. Oh. Sorry.
And so, Cheyenne, what do you remember about when you first came to Prairie?
Well, I don't really remember too much, but I remember everybody was just, like, really open. They were, like, welcoming, and, like, I've never been to a church that has been so welcoming the first time I was here. Like, everybody was like, who's this, who's that? And, like, they were just like, wow. I was, like, shocked. I was like, nobody's been this nice to me before. And the other churches, they're never this nice. And I was like, wow. And everybody just kind of was like, well, I'm gonna just call this place my home.
All right.
Because I really like this church.
Well, I guess that kind of answers our second question of why you decided to keep coming even when your friend wasn't coming.
Well, it doesn't matter if he came or not. Like, I would still come no matter what. Like, because it's just, I always had so much fun here. It was fun to just come and have fun with the kids and just have fun. I was pretty bored on the weekends because I never had really anything to do. And always Sunday, I would say to my mom on Saturday, I'm like, Mom, can't wait for church on Sunday. So much fun.
That reminds me, my son, who will be six soon, when I asked him, or when my mother said, what do you like about church so much? And he said, it's the most wonderful place you can be. How has Prairie helped you through your high school years?
Well, it helped to have good friends, because through high school, I've gone through so many friends. Like, I've had so many bad and negative friends. I've made friends here. And just helping me with my mom's situation just helped me go through all the stuff that I couldn't help myself with. And you guys always helped me with through the tough times, through the bad and the negative. And I didn't have so much positive influence in my life to go through high school. And plus, I had so many troubles over the years just trying to get through high school, and just having so many good friends and people here to support me and help me through all this stuff I had to go through.
Something I always liked seeing was that you hung out with everybody here, but what was always nice was that your friends were also the adults too. It wasn't just the younger kids in your class. You were hanging out with some of the older people here taking part in Mystery Friends. It was always nice to see you do that.
Yeah, I always had fun with older people. I always do for some reason. Just, I get along with everyone. I'm just sociable, like I said before.
And finally, could you tell us a little bit about your plans for the future?
Well, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to go to MATC. And I'm not going right away, but I'm going to take a year off, but I'm working through this program through my school that's going to help me. I'm going to work through DVR, and that they're going to help me. And then I'm going to take the Compass test next year, so hopefully I can get into MATC. I'm going to do two programs, so it's your two-year program, so it's just photography and this assistant program. And then I really want to one day get married and have kids and have a big house somewhere.
Oh, when you're 95 and you're a little cat lady.
No, I'm just going to live with my mom until I get through college, and I'm going to help out and get a job, and hopefully I'm going to get this job. So that'd be my first job that I've had, so I'm really, really stoked for it.
And you're staying here in Madison too, which is great. You're still going to be coming here to Prairie, and we're not losing you.
Yep, so. As soon as, hopefully going to get my driver's license pretty soon so I can start driving here. And I could bring my mom more.
And your other mom.
And my other mom. If they don't know how to, just in case they stop driving and they need somebody to drive for them, I can drive.
And we also have some flowers for Cheyenne. Oh. Karen, can you do those?
I gotta keep them away from my cats. I gotta keep them away from my cats because my cats like to eat flowers. Any kind of plants. I tried planting tomatoes before, didn't happen. Cats like to eat everything.
Well, thank you, Cheyenne.
Thank you so
much. I also remember the first.
Can I say something?
Oh, sure.
You know, I've been impressed that Cheyenne has reached out to us too. For someone who may have had more difficult high school experiences than some of us, she was smart enough to find a resource of support and to come and do that. And you don't understand, I think, just how rare that is. And we really love you for that.
A since I wanted to say, I remember when you were very shy coming up here to do your first opening words, and now you can come up here, and you used to, I always was impressed that you would take part in the joys and concerns too, that you felt that we were part of your family, that you'd be able to share that with us. Thank you. Finally, I'd just like to say a little bit about what we'll be doing this summer and for next year. This summer, we're going to be learning our prairie history. So our older students in the secondary class, they will be learning from some of our founding members. And I'm inviting you all to come down each Sunday. You can sign up and you can share what you remember about Prairie and when it first started. And if you think I don't know who you are, I do. Bar Park. Give me a list so I know who you are and I know where you live and I know your email addresses. So I invite you all to come and share what you remember about Prairie and our history from the beginning or just from when you started coming. And also we hope to take the children on some field trips to where Prairie used to meet. This wasn't our first building. So we're gonna have them learn a bit about that and have some of our children do some arts and crafts for the congregation. So, and also for next year, our theme for the school year is Our Religious Sources, World Religions. Students in the primary class will be studying our Jewish and Christian heritage. Secondary age students will learn about other religious sources, and our middle and high school students will do a version of what many of you know as Church Across the Street or Neighboring Faiths. And the UUs, you know, they draw many sources and can identify as not only a UU, but many also identify as a UU Christian or a UU Buddhist, or like me, a UU pagan. Slash Christian, slash. it's important for our students to not only be religiously literate, but to know that just because they find one particular faith drawing them in, that they don't need to leave Unitarian Universalism behind. That they can be both a UU and a Buddhist, or a UU and a Christian. And this year is important because our youth will not only just be learning about the importance of other faiths for understanding their friends and their neighbors, but it's also going to be a time for them to grow in their own spiritual development and to explore our fourth principle, to discover what is true and meaningful to them. So if you're interested in putting into action our third principle, which is acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, and would like to teach, we are still in need of teachers for the primary age students. And I'm not going to lie, this is not an easy task. It is a big commitment, but it's also a very fun and very rewarding commitment. And you would not be alone in this endeavor. You would have a co-teacher, so you're not responsible for every single Sunday. And we also have service Sundays and other projects throughout the year, so it generally averages to about one or two times a month. And we're looking at about an hour a week, in addition to preparing for your lesson. We also have excellent curricula here at Prairie, and that will guide you through the teaching process. And in August, I'll have a teacher orientation to help you get oriented into the program and to get you ready with all your tools that you'll need for the year. So if you are interested, you can see anybody on the RE committee, and if you guys could raise your hand again. Or you can see me about teaching, and I would love to give you more information about our program. So, if anybody has any questions, I'm not sure if we have any time, but did anybody have any comments that they wanted to say?
Or? Just a quick announcement about the summer.
Put it in the announcements. I didn't get there in time. As part of our theme, we did a play about time travel, and we're going to be doing time travel and learning about Prairie's history. I thought it would be great if we actually had a time machine. So if anybody has a really big box, like from a refrigerator or some other appliance, let us know and we'll be happy to use that.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that time machine.
Since we've only been here a few weeks, but I do also want to say thank you to the RE program for welcoming our son, Liam, and he started calling Prairie Family Church, and I can't tell you how much that means to me, so thank you.
Aww.
And if anybody has any additional questions, we will have a religious education table during our soup lunch. And there's also the religious education bulletin board that I'm not sure many of you are aware of. I've often joked that we need to put flashing lights on it, but it is by the coffee. And that has updates.
Between the coffee.
So I want to just thank all of you for being first responders to our children and for opening that door of education for them. So thank you.
Three weeks ago, whenever we had the annual meeting, someone made a motion that we want to grow, and we passed that, I think. And of course we want to grow. I mean, it's sort of like apple pie or something. This is how we grow, with the RE program. I mean, it helps to have someone who's competent up here some of the time. It certainly helps to have all of you be so welcoming and do all that you do. But the religious education program, they are the first responders. And one of the reasons I took this job is because you have an excellent program. And so I hope you will all continue to support it. And those of you who have the little ones, don't forget to tell your friends that we're here and we're ready to be their family church. And now to keep us up and running, it's time for the offering. And Catherine? Oh, you're right here in front of me. Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Please join me in singing the closing hymn, number 346. Thanks, Paul. Stand as you are willing and able to do so. I will read the regular type if you'll read the italicized part. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds upon the young, but to stir up their own.
Not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own.
Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth.
Not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs.
Not to bind them by ineradicable prejudices to our particular sect or peculiar notions.
But to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be offered to their decisions.
Not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought.
Not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment.
In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul to excite and cherish spiritual life. Go in peace, not too far. Stay to eat. Eat for free if you're new. One more thing. We have a cake for Cheyenne, and we're gonna cut that before lunch because Cheyenne's mom needs to get going. So, and there's a card over there next to the cake that you can sign to.